Western countries call for action after Belarus diverts a plane flying over its territory to arrest an opposition journalist. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. On Sunday, the Belarusian government scrambled a fighter jet to force a passenger flight bound for Lithuania to land, claiming there was a bomb threat. When the plane landed in Minsk, authorities arrested Roman Protasevich before allowing it to continue its journey. The U.S. condemned what it called a shocking act, while European ministers in the airline Ryanair have described it as a hijacking and aviation piracy. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen this morning said any violation of international air transport rules must bear consequences, and as the BBC's James Landale explains, all options will be on the table at a summit of European leaders later today.
The arrest of Roman Protasevich has provoked a chorus of international outrage, but will that be echoed by action? Some leaders, including the Polish Prime Minister, have already called for fresh sanctions on President Lukashenko's authoritarian government. Eight Foreign Affairs Committee chairmen from Britain, the US and the EU said flights over and to Belarus should be banned for what they described as an act of piracy. Some officials even suggested cars and lorries could be stopped from entering the EU from Belarus. Mr. Lukashenko has shown how far he is prepared to go to suppress opposition after disputed elections last year. The EU now has to decide what price it is prepared to make him pay.
Well, one of those who has some prices in mind is the former Polish defense minister, Radek Sikorski, who's now a member of the European Parliament.
I think we should ban Belavia, the Belarusian national airline, from the European airspace. Remember that Mr. Protasevich was also an EU-protected political refugee. He received political asylum in Poland, so we are responsible for his safety, and Poland should move that motion. I think what Lukashenko has been doing in Belarus has also earned him the right to answer a case at the International Criminal Court.
Well, checking the numbers now, Belarusian government bonds are under pressure as international outrage grows over the government's action over the weekend. Meanwhile, European stock markets are slightly higher, and in Asia, they ended the session little changed. Investors there are keeping tabs on whether the Olympic Games, which are scheduled for July, will go ahead in Tokyo. The country has now opened its first mass COVID-19 vaccination centers to try to speed up its rollout amid a surge in infection that's left much of the country in a state of emergency. Overnight, billionaire tech entrepreneur and software Bank founder Masayoshi Son took to Twitter once again to criticize the government's handling of the vaccination drive. He called into question the decision to allow athletes into the nation while more than 80% of people in Japan want to postpone or cancel the games. He's also called into question the economic benefit of holding the event during a pandemic. To India now, where more than 300,000 deaths have been linked to COVID-19, and authorities are still struggling to control a surge in infections. Hospitals continue to be overwhelmed, medical supplies are running out, and the virus is spreading faster there than anywhere else in the world. Now, the BBC's Arunade Mukherjee explains the nation's sluggish vaccination rollout is only compounding the crisis.
For the last several days, Sudarshan Desai in the city of Pune had been sitting with his laptop for hours, desperately trying to slot a vaccine appointment for his parents on the government's online portal. He did manage to get something, but the joy was short-lived, he said.
We were told that the vaccine had not arrived, and it was actually a big waste of time for me and my parents.
After numerous attempts and over a week of trying, Sudarshan finally managed to get another appointment. On vaccination day, he and his family stood in a long line for 3 hours to get the jab. Indians are desperate to get inoculated, but there simply aren't enough vaccines. Despite being the world's biggest producer, the country is facing a crunch. From administering 3.7 million doses a day in April, it came down to around 1.8 million in May. Now states are also being asked to fund part of the vaccine purchase on their own and then compete for supplies with the private sector, creating a differential pricing of vaccines, which some experts have criticized. While the central government spends only $2 per dose, state governments must pay around $5.50 and private hospitals between $8 and $16 per dose. As a result, several Indian states could end up spending nearly 30% of their health budgets on vaccinations. Malini Esola, the co-convener of the All India Drug Action Network, says the central government should bear costs.
The advantages of a centralized procurement model is that it is the most efficient way to negotiate a low price.
if the government had to borrow.
Economists like Ila Patnaik say a robust vaccination drive is essential, not just to save lives, but also the economy.
So if you vaccinate the entire population above 18, if the central government were to do it, then it would cost it about 1% of GDP.
By the end of May, it is estimated only a little above 10% of India's 1.4 billion people would have had their first dose, and around 3% would have received both. At this rate, some experts say it could take India nearly 3 years to vaccinate its entire population. And the longer it takes, the harder it will be on the Indian economy. In Delhi, I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
Well, as nations around the world continue to battle against the pandemic, some positive research out of the UK today. One study found specially trained dogs could sniff out people infected with COVID-19. The dogs were able to correctly ID 94% of the unwashed clothing samples from thousands of people who tested positive for the virus. Researchers say that could help speed up arrivals as travel restarts in some countries this summer. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.